So for this morning's message, we are going to look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 29. But before we read this morning's sermon text, may I now invite you to bow your head with me so that we can ask the Lord's blessing upon the reading and the preaching of His holy word. So let us all pray together and go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that you have given to us so that we can read your word and hear your word being preached to us in this congregation. In this, oh Lord, we do not take this privilege and we do not take the preaching of your word lightly. We ask, Lord, that you will pour your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may listen very carefully. We ask that you pour your Holy Spirit upon us, that our heart may be open, that our eyes may be open, that we may see wonderful things in your word, and that we may praise Jesus Christ by seeing the gospel in what we are about to read and study together this morning. Indeed, O Lord, we ask that you bless this time so that we will see Christ magnified among us, so that when we go out from this building, that we will confess and praise you, saying, "We have indeed met the Lord this morning." In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So this morning's message comes from Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 29. This is the inspired, therefore infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word of God, sufficient to make us wise unto salvation and equip us for good works. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promise of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Thus, by the reading of God's holy word. So, my dear friends, this morning we are going to now return to our study on the letter to Galatians, and we are introduced to one of the most important doctrines in the scripture. But now, for those of you who were not with us last Sunday, well, let me just quickly bring you up to date here by telling you, we examined last Sunday together how the Apostle Paul destroyed the Galatian Christians' flawed and distorted expectation of the law. So we said last Sunday that the Galatians ended up believing in this fantasy tale from the Judaizers, as they were telling Galatians that a simple act of putting their faith in Jesus was not enough. Well, the Judaizers were telling all these Galatians that you need to do something more. You need to add more to your faith, and that you need to become a Jew and live like a Jew according to all the Mosaic commandments so that you can make yourself righteous and perfect before God. But now, the Apostle Paul rebuked this folly of Galatian Christians, and he pointed them back to their personal experience and to their scripture proofs, to show that a man is not justified by works of the law. For example, the Apostle Paul reminded the Galatians that it was not through the works of the law that they became a Christian, Or for the matter, it was not for the works of the law that they had suffered in their life or saw all these miracles that were done around them. No. Paul reminded them they became Christians through faith in Jesus Christ, and that they suffered for this very faith, and that they saw all these miracles around them through this faith. And in the same manner, the Apostle Paul also proved to Galatian Christians that even one of the greatest heroes in the Old Testament, a man that all Judaizers and Jews looked up to very highly in their lives, was also justified by faith in God. I mean, if you remember, quoting Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, the Apostle Paul clarified to Galatians that even Abraham became righteous by believing in God and his promises. And in this way, Paul declared that everyone and anyone can be justified before God and even become children of Abraham, spiritual children of Abraham, through a simple act of putting their faith in Jesus, the promised seed of Abraham. So, in this way, last Lord's Day, the Apostle Paul made it very crystal clear to the Galatian Christians that from their personal experience, from the scripture proof that the law cannot justify anyone, no matter how he or she tries their best or gives their best to obey it and keep it. And accordingly, I think this is where some of us might ask this important question. That is, well then, if the law cannot do anything to make me righteous before God, why did God give the law to us in the first place? I mean, if the law cannot make us perfect, does that mean that the law is absolutely useless and perhaps even evil? I mean, should we still read the law? I mean, should we still care about it? What is the use of the law? And this morning, these are the very questions that the Apostle Paul is going to answer in today's text. You see, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 29, the Apostle Paul is going to explain to Galatians that even though the law cannot justify us, and even though the law cannot make us perfect, that it doesn't mean that the law is useless, or for that matter, we can simply tear it away from the Bible. No. Even though the Apostle Paul seemed to have bashed the law for the last three chapters of this letter, he's now going to tell us that the law is good as long as we use it in a way that God had given it to us in the first place. So this morning, I want us to all examine together Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 29. And by doing so, I want us to all learn from today's text three proper uses of the law, three proper uses of the law that the Apostle Paul wants us to understand for our lives. So to this end, before we go any further, as it is our practice here, please allow me to submit this proposition to you, this big picture, big idea, summary idea from today's text. And you can read it from your bulletin. So dear friends, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 29, the Apostle Paul teaches the Galatian Christians that God's law is not useless or evil as he has given it to expose, drive, and guide sinners. Let me say it again. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 29, the Apostle Paul teaches the Galatian Christians that God's law is not useless or evil as he has given it to expose, drive, and guide sinners. Well then, let's jump into today's text. So what proper use of the law can we learn from Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 29? I mean, why did God give the law to the Jews and to all of us if it cannot justify us or make us perfect in any way? Well, according to today's text, the Apostle Paul first wants us to understand that God gave the law to the mankind in order to expose sin and disobedience of man through his life. In order to expose sin and disobedience of man through his life. So let's jump into the first point of today's sermon. That is the first use of the law. The first use of the law. It exposes us. It exposes us. It exposes us. As the Apostle Paul begins his discourse on the law in verses 19 through 20, Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. So then, why did God give the law to the mankind? I mean, what is the purpose of the law according to the Apostle Paul? Well, the Apostle Paul first explains to us in verse 19 that the law was added to us, that it was given to us because of transgressions. In other words, the Apostle Paul tells us that law was given by God for the sake of disobedience, for the sake of sin. So I think we have to ask this important follow-up question. That is, what does the Apostle Paul mean by this? What does he mean when he says God gave the law because of transgressions? Well, perhaps I can help you, or I can give you a real-life illustration to help you understand what is going on here. So I don't know about you, my dear friends, but there aren't many things in my life that I hate or I consider to be nightmares. And I grew up in Cambodia, one of the poorest countries, experienced a lot of different things. I learned to be very tolerant, you know, be happy about everything. So there aren't many things that I consider to be nightmare in my life. But about a 3 or 4 months ago, one of my nightmares actually came true. And ironically, here in Grove City, out of everywhere, you know, and I really had to deal with it. So you see, it happened during the hot summertime. And I usually take my trash bag out at nighttime, you know, before I finish my day. And my trash bin is right next to our house door. So I just walk right out, throw it, walk right back in. Don't bother to check the trash bin because it's dark outside. I cannot see anything anyway. You know, I just throw it, comes right back into the house. But it happened on that fateful day that the trash bag in my house filled up faster than usual. And I had to take it out during the daytime. And it was then when my nightmare came true. You see, when I opened the trash bin, I found out that something was moving in it. In fact, I saw that a lot of things were moving in it. And I realized that my trash bin was infested with maggots. They were literally like exploding out of the one trash bag. My first instinct, I want to burn the trash bin down. I hate maggots. You know, I have a horrible childhood trauma with that. And when I saw that infestation, that unholy sight right there, well, I literally ran into the house and hysterically yelling at my wife saying, our trash bin is infested with maggots. And I was frantically searching on my phone how to get rid of maggots in the trash bin, you know, so that I can get rid of that, you know, unsanctified infestation that I just witnessed with my eyeballs, you know. You know, I was absolutely shaken by what I saw in my trash bin, that maggots fill the trash bin. But now, here's the thing, though. You know, it is likely that my trash bin was already infested with maggots days before when I had this nightmare encounter. You know, I mean, it is likely that my trash bin was already suffering the fate of this infestation, and then I obliviously just took out my trash bag and threw it in there without knowing what was happening in that bin. The difference, however, was that this time I opened my trash bin in the daylight. And this daylight exposed me what was actually happening in that bin. You know, I had this unwelcome realization as the daylight exposed the trash bin that it was infested with these unholy creatures. Now, in the similar way, the Apostle Paul tells us that the law is like this daylight which exposes the infestation of our heart. You see, as we read together already, the Apostle Paul tells us that God gave us the law to the mankind because of our transgression, because of our disobedience. In other words, the law is given to mankind so that its light can expose us, or more precisely, so that its light can expose the sin, disobedience, or transgression in us, in our heart, so that we will have no excuse in knowing what is actually happening in our heart. And in fact, we can actually have a better and clearer understanding of Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 through 20, when we read them in light of Paul's other letter to the Romans, you know, letter to Romans. So if you go to Romans chapter 3, verse 20, I'm just going to go verse by verse so that you don't have to follow me here. But if you read Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin," meaning that the law helps us to see sin in our lives. In Romans chapter 4, verse 15, Paul also adds, "For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression." Why? Because you cannot see sin without its life. Finally, in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes, "Now the law came in to increase the trespass, so its light will show us crystal clear how much sin that is in our heart." And in today's text, in the similar vein of thought, the Apostle Paul says to Galatians, "Why then the law? It was added because of transgression." Or just like how I became aware of what was actually going on inside of my trash bin, you know, in the daylight, Paul explains to us today that the law is there to shine light on our dark hearts so that our sins and transgression will be brought out to an open square. So in this way, Paul teaches us of the first use of the law. He tells us God gave the law to the mankind through the agency of Moses and angels, most likely referring to Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2, so that the light of the law would expose our transgression openly until the promised seed comes into the world. So then I believe I have to pause here very briefly for the way of application in light of Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, because I think I have to ask this important question to each and every one of us in our congregation or who may be listening to this message right now. And the question is this: do you, my dear friends, have a true understanding of the wickedness of your heart and the corruption of your trespasses? Or to put it more bluntly, my dear friends, has the light of the law ever shone in your heart and exposed the true death and the corruption of your heart? Has the light of the law ever shone in your heart, in your life? You see, Paul declares to us today that God had given us the law so that we can have a true and objective knowledge of ourselves. You know, to be brought face to face, to be brought face to face before our depravity and our corruption. And this is very important because the prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can ever know it?" In other words, if we are left on our own, we will never, ever know our true selves. It doesn't matter who you are. You may be a smartest student in Grove City College with 4.0 GPA. You may be a professor or a philosopher who spent your lifetime reflecting on yourself. You may be an ordinary man and woman who is content with your current life, thinking that life is good. But left on your own, my dear friends, you will never ever see the maggots called sin that is crawling and that is infesting your heart right now. And today's text teaches us that God gave the law so that its light will expose and help us to have the true reality check in our heart. So let me ask you one more time. Have you ever had this nightmare encounter with yourself in the light of the law? I mean, have you ever been under the light of the law that made you cry out these fearful words, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death?" I hope so. I hope so. But now, having observed the first use of the law, some of us might be still wondering this question. That is, well, Paul, you're still not really answering our first question here. I mean, it is certainly useful for the law to expose sin in us, but still, if we cannot do anything about that sin, what good is the law still? What good is the law? In fact, if all that the law does is show us our sin, shouldn't that mean that we should just care more about the faith and the promise that gives us a life? Shouldn't that mean that we should just throw the law away after it tells us about us? Well, the Apostle Paul answers this question in verses 21 of 22 of today's text. So read with me verses 21 through 22 as he replies, "Is the law then contrary to the promise of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." So to put it more plainly, the Apostle Paul uses the strongest expression as possible to answer that the law and the promise was never ever meant to be a rival, that they were never ever meant to be each other's nemesis, because they have two different roles that actually help each other out. And even though the scripture says that we are under sin, therefore we cannot use the law to justify ourselves, Paul now goes on to tell us that there is still the use of the law that is good for us. And that he tells us that the law not only exposes our sin, but that it also drives us to the one who can make us pure and righteous before God. So let's jump into the second point of today's sermon. That is the second use of the law. The second use of the law, it drives us. It drives us. It drives us. As the Apostle Paul declares in verses 23 through 24, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith." Well, then before I go any further, let me just quickly ask a question to our boys and girls. If they are listening, I think they are. Well, boys and girls, have you ever heard of this word called guardian before? Have you ever heard of this word guardian before? Do you know what it means? Kind of sad that Jonah is not here. He usually answers everything, but. Well, so for those of you boys and girls who doesn't know what the word guardian means, well, let me tell you, just briefly about it. Well, guardian is someone who watches over you, and someone who is responsible for your safety and your well-being. You know, your mom and dad can be your guardian because they look out for you, because they care for you. You know, your relatives can also be your guardian if they look out for you, if they are in charge of your safety. At times, your close family friends might be your guardian as well. And if they care for your well-being. So in our world, guardian has a very positive note. We use it in a very positive way, showing that someone who protects you or someone who cares for you. But now, here is what we need to understand from today's text, though. You see, when Paul says that the law is our guardian, because that's what he says in verse 24, well, we must understand that Paul is not using this word guardian in a positive way. No, that's not how Paul is using this word. You see, the word that the Apostle Paul used for guardian in today's text, in Greek, it is called pedagogus. There you go. Quick Greek lesson for everyone. Pedagogus. Now, where we get the English word pedagogy, you know, pedagogus. Now, the thing is, during the Apostle Paul's time, the word pedagogus was a title that was given to a slave who were in charge of the moral life of a young boys or young men. No, slaves were in charge of the moral life of a young boys and young men. So really the best way for us to think about pedagogue as a guardian in today's text is thinking about a very harsh and brutal drill sergeant in military, very harsh drill sergeant in military. So when I was a young boy, when I was 8 years old, I had to go to a boot camp. You know, believe it or not, South Korea is still in war with North Korea. So in back in my days, you know, like the government started very early on military lifestyle exercise for the boys and girls. So even when you are 8, the school actually sends you the boot camp so that you will have an experience of military life and everything. So one semester I had to go to boot camp, and there I learned discipline and also physical punishment, because I learned that if you are not listening to your drill sergeant, that they physically punish you and they abuse you, you know, verbally, you know, to make sure that you stay in line. Well, that's pretty much what the, you know, pedagogues were like in the Apostle Paul's time. You see, pedagogues were much like this harsh drill sergeant, because they often exercise a physical punishment to keep these boys in line of conduct. And as a result, and understandably so, many young boys and young men, they, you know, wanted to grow up fast so that they will be out of this, you know, pedagogue's supervision, so that they can be freed from this harsh treatment that they receive from their pedagogues, from their guardians. Now, the interesting thing is, fascinating thing is, that the Apostle Paul in today's text compares the law as this pedagogues in today's text. You see, Paul says that the law is our harsh guardian. And in fact, you can notice in verse 23 that the Apostle Paul uses a very strong language, you know, to describe our natural relationship with the law. He says, we are held captive under the law. He says, we are imprisoned by the law. I mean, it doesn't take long, you know, it doesn't take much for all of us to notice that the law doesn't want us to love it. It doesn't take long or much for us to recognize that the law's first intention is not to make us, you know, be favorable toward it or love it. In fact, law wants us to hate it. So why? Why does the law do this to us? Why does the law treat us so harshly, imprison us, captivate us, punish us? Well, we find the answer in verse 24 of today's text, as the Apostle Paul further explains to Galatians. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. Or if I can read it closer to Greek language, the Apostle Paul declares that the law became our guardian into Christ Jesus, in order that we might be justified out of faith. That the law became our guardian into Christ Jesus, in order that we might be justified out of faith. So my dear friends, this is what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand in today's text. He says that the law, as guardian, beats up sinners when they make mistakes. It treats them very harshly when they walk out of line. It calls out demands that are impossible for any man to keep. But Paul says that the law is a harsh drill sergeant, that he treats everyone brutally in order to plant a longing for freedom, in order to plant a desire for liberation in their heart, so that it will drive every man to Christ Jesus, who alone can give them a true and real freedom away from the requirement and demands of the law. So this is the second use of the law, which the Apostle Paul introduces to us today. The law, by its harsh treatment, drives all to Christ, so that man may find rest and freedom in it. So accordingly, I want to now quickly speak to anyone in our congregation who may be discouraged and wearied out by the law in our church. You know, maybe the light of the law has already shone in your heart right now. Maybe you saw the ugliness and corruption of your sin in your heart. And maybe you might be a person who tried to keep up with all the demands of the law. Maybe you're giving everything you got right now because you want to satisfy the law and you want to get rid of this ugliness and this ugly corruption that is in your heart. And as such, maybe you're a man or woman who is discouraged and wearied out as you realize that you can never, ever keep up or live up to the expectation of the law, constantly being bitten by its accusations. And if that is you, my dear friends, here's the good news for you. The scripture testifies to us today that there is someone who lived a perfect life and who died a perfect death and satisfied all the requirements and demands of the law on your behalf so that you do not need to live under its oppressive and harsh guardianship. You see, Jesus Christ came into the world and he gave himself for us so that he may redeem us from the demands of the law and its curses. I mean, do you remember what Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30? Come to me, all who you are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am nothing like the law, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So let me ask you, let me tell you one more time. For anyone in our congregation who may be wearied out by the law, who may be depressed and oppressed by the law, hear these words that the law is speaking to you right now. Hear it. It's saying to you, run, run to Christ. It is saying to you right now, flee to Christ, be free in his pardoning blood, be free in his accomplished work, be free in his liberating grace. Yes, my dear friends, know the second use of the law. It drives you to Christ. It wants you to run to Christ. It wants you to flee to Christ. It wants you to take refuge in Christ, refuge in Christ. And on this note, very briefly, let's jump into the last point of today's sermon. As Paul continues, and he now tells us good news as he declares in verses 25 through 27, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, we are all sons of God through faith. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So let's jump into the last point of today's sermon, that is the third use of the law. The third use of the law, it guides us. It guides us. So the Apostle Paul, my dear friends, testifies to us today that all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ are no longer under his guardianship. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in verses 28 through 29 that if you believe in Jesus, that there is neither Jew or Gentile, that there is no slave or free, that there is no male and female, that you are all in Christ. And that if you are in Christ, that you are heirs of Abraham and his promises. And Paul says, this blessing and joy belongs to everyone, anyone who is putting on Christ on themselves. But now, this is where I think we have to ask one last very important question. That is, what does putting on Christ practically look like in our lives? I mean, what does it mean to put on Christ in our lives? Does this mean that we can now live however we want to live? Does this mean that we can now throw away the law from us? After all, we are released from his guardianship, right? Does putting on Christ mean we can live a law absent, law missing? Does this mean that we can live a lawless life? Does that what putting on Christ mean? Well, absolutely not. You see, it is still important for us to keep the law in our lives as a Christian. However, here is the difference. While we were yet sinners, we tried to obey the law and fulfill all its demands in attempt to make ourselves righteous and perfect before God. That's how we use the law. But you see, just like how the Judaizers were telling Galatians, before we became a Christian, we tried to use the law so that we can yoke ourselves under the law to perfect ourselves with our own strength. But after we become Christians, we no longer obey the law because we want to gain righteousness. But we obey the law because we want to live out our righteousness. There's a huge difference in that. You see, Christians cherish the law, not because we want to boast about our perfection in ourselves, but because we want to thank our perfection in Christ Jesus. You know, that's what reformers called. Reformers call the third use of the law, using the law to show, to live a life that shows gratitude to Christ. Using the law to live a life that shows gratitude to Christ. And we know this to be true, and we know this is biblical, because Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. That's what Jesus said. So we obey the law because we want to show our, because we want to express our gratitude, because we want to show our love to Jesus Christ in our daily lives. And the law guides us to this end. As it tells us, when it, before it tells us, before we Christ, it told us to do this and come alive. That's what the law told us to do. Before Christ, it tells us, do this and come alive. But after Christ, and when we believe in Christ, the law now tells us, come alive and do this. Come alive and do this. So to this end, let me just ask you one last question to all of you here. What is your relationship, my dear friends, with the law right now, if you are a Christian? Can you also say with the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love the law. It is my meditation all day long. Can you also say that? Is that your relationship with the law right now? Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. You see, Christians are not just people who need comfort from the gospel. We are not to be a child who is coddled in a blanket all the time, trying to seek comfort from the gospel only. It's important. I'm not denying it's important. I hope you saw that how I tried to comfort you for the second use of the law. Comfort is important. But as I, but true Christian, they not only receive comfort from the gospel, but they also seek to receive power to live out the gospel in their lives. They also seek to receive power to live out the gospel in their lives. And this is why I always try to have applications in sermon. You know, not just to show you that the scripture is relevant in your lives. I mean, that's important too. But because I really want to show you the way that we can live a gospel empowered, a gospel gratitude life, gospel that drives our life as a Christian. And the law of God, it guides us to this end, as it shows us the way that we can love God as Christians and the way that we can love our neighbor as Christians. So let me conclude today's message by reminding you of an illustration I used for our boys and girls on the law. Well, my stick is still there. The law is like a stick in the hands of traveling. God uses this law to poke our hearts, to expose our sins. And after he exposes our sin, he points, he stretches out that stick to point us to Jesus Christ so that we will go to him. And after we believe in Jesus, God hands that stick in our hands so that we may walk with it in our Christian life. That's what the law does in us. It shows our sin. It drives us to Christ, and it helps us walk as Christian in our lives. And in this way, Paul tells us today that the law is good for Christian when we use it as God has given it to us. So my dear friends, I pray that you will cherish the law, you will love the law, and that you will meditate on the law so that it will expose you, that it will drive you, and that it will guide you in Jesus Christ. So let us all pray together.